Well, yeah, I would like to share a story how we got help when we came to the United States by different people, actually, which is, I think, very common American, like, you know, American character. When we came to Phoenix, the Jewish community rented us an apartment. It was a small apartment in, like, I think, two apartments, small building, one-story building. And it came that the owner of the apartment building was a retired mailman. But this guy, he was a born-again Christian. And he was very nice, so he came to us to check that everything was okay, and he, like, by his own desire, started to helping us in all kind of small things. Like, for example, he helped us to buy a used car. He was looking for a used car, and we bought, like, wonderful Buick Skylark for, I remember, $320 at the time. It's like, it was 1970, I think, so it was like 9 years old, but it was in a wonderful condition. So he found it in a paper. In those time, you would look in a newspaper, right? So call to people, and we went and brought it back together. Also, he was teaching me driving, because while I kind of normally had a driver's license in Russia, I didn't really know how to drive. So he was driving with me for an exam. And when we went to pass an exam, the first part of it was actually parallel parking. And I never done parallel parking before, so I even didn't know what it is. So they, I even didn't start any test because they just kicked me out. And to learn parallel parkings, we had friends, a young couple our age, also with small kids. They just put two their new cars in such a way that I was supposed to park between them. I told them, are you crazy? I mean, I don't know how to park. I'll hit your cars. I said, no, you won't. I mean, it's not a big deal. But I still decided, no, it's not a good idea. So our landlord, he got me this orange cones and put it, and I was practicing parallel parking. So actually, when we came second time to pass the exam, I done this parallel parking so well. It's probably was the best parallel parking in my life, including now. That instructor just took me around the blocks, and we didn't go anywhere. The instructor was really impressed with my parallel parking. But in reality, I didn't know how to drive very well. I didn't drive on the freeway, and like. But after months in Phoenix, we decided to go to Pasadena because I was kind of accepted in JPL, and the only thing, they had to get a permission from the NASA headquarters because we were Soviet Union, and so we decided it would be better if we live in Phoenix. I mean, we lived in Pasadena, close to JPL, and do something. So we decided, okay, well, we'll sold everything that. I mean, we didn't have much. They gave us a bunch of stuff, so we sold everything. We just put all our stuff in this car. It was a two-door car, by the way, but it was pretty big. It was a big trunk. We put a child bed on the, I mean, of course, disassembled. Creep effectively on the top of the car, tied it with ropes and like put some top on this. It was kind of very, I would say, traditional view. And our landlord tells, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, we're going to go to Pasadena. He said, well, are you going to drive to Pasadena yourself? I said, of course I'm going to drive yourself. But he said, look, you have a small child and your wife. I mean, I won't let you go alone. I'll go with you. And first of all, we went to AAA. And here, and those times when you go somewhere, one of the services with AAA, they would give you like a map of everything that you're supposed to do on this trip, like every turn and triplex it call, I think. And they shown us how to, gave us a map how to go from Phoenix, Arizona to Pasadena, California. And this was our first exposure to AAA. And as soon as we got any money, we became AAA members, and we're AAA members for what, 45, 46 years now. So he got in the car and we were driving all the way. Like, it took us a whole day driving to Pasadena. We came, stay with my friend Boris Kochman, who already, he came to United States like in 75, maybe 76. So he already was working at JPL, and he helped me to get into JPL. So he had an apartment. So we were supposed to stay in his apartment, and he obviously didn't have much furniture or anything by himself. So we slept on the floor, and our landlord, who was probably in his 50s, like late 50s, he like put together like three or four chairs and slept on the chairs. And in the morning took a bus back, and we were kind of friends with him for many, many years until his death. We were sending him Christmas cards and things like that. He was just a wonderful person. But it wasn't the only case when Americans like friendship and really good character was shown. At the beginning, before we actually got, I got in JPL, and even before, we didn't have much money, point one and point two, we considered that even the cheapest product are good enough for us. So we didn't understand why should we pay more. So we were buying food in a, like, in those times there were four supermarkets or food markets were on different scales. There was very expensive, was very high quality, it was very good service, where we wouldn't go, or there were very cheap. So we would go to the cheapest one. Obviously, we felt that food quality is good enough for us, and there's no point to pay extra money for nothing. And obviously it wasn't in a very like good neighborhood. It was like fairly poor neighborhood in Pasadena, and in southern Pasadena, I think. And I came there, and when I was planning to go back, the car won't start, and I had no idea what to do. And those time we were not AAA members, so I absolutely didn't know what to do with my car. And the kind of elder black guy, like very tall and strong, like huge, like typical African-American, you know, like with gray hair, he came to me by himself and he said, well, it doesn't start. I say, yeah. He said, let's see. And he said, it's probably because, so he, I open it, he look at it and say, well, it's a temperature sensor. What happened in those time, well, first of all, we had a carburetor, and what happened, well, engine was too cool, it won't inject a lot of gasoline because it would float the carburetor. And when it become hot, and you could actually heat the gasoline air mixture, it would open a valve and you get enough enough gasoline, and this sensor didn't work, so I couldn't get gasoline into my carburetor. And I said, "Oh, okay, so what I'm supposed to do?" He said, "Just wait a second." So he went to his car, opened trunk, and there were all kind of stuff. So he found a temperature sensor that would fit. He put a temperature sensor into to my carburetor. They said, "Okay, now it works." And then I was kind of trying to get around, and then he actually saw that I had problem parking in, like, it was a huge car, huge traditional American car. And he said, "Oh, okay." I could not park in the parking space with all the cars. I was really nervous about it. And he showed me how to do in like three parts. So first you point to the next car, to the middle of the next cars, and you go back, then you kind of turn, and then you become exactly again against this open slot, and you get in the open slot. So I'm still using it. I'm still using his advice that he told me and taught me about 45, 46 years ago. So it was very, very interesting, and I think typical American experience that we have, very positive experience. We obviously had negative experience too, but this we still remember.